This is Arts Alive, the podcast of the St. Pete Catalyst. My name is Bill DeYoung. I'm happy to be here today with my good friends Jim Rayfield and Bonnie Egan from Radio Theater Project, which has been going on, my goodness, since 2009, I believe. And it's coming back for this fall season, this coming Monday, the 28th. That's at the studio at 6:20. Hello, Jim. Hello, Bonnie.
Hello.
Hey there.
Hey. What's different this year? I mean, all I know is that it's the Halloween show and we're going to go there, but Bob Devin Jones isn't there anymore. What else? Is there something else different that your many, many fans will want to know about?
Not that I know of. I met with Erica and Patrick Jackson, and I think everything is set up and ready to go. And Matt Colley's going to be on board doing sound. And so I think we're all set to go.
So it's the same old delights.
Yes.
And I don't mean same old in a terrible way, but great. Is it the same audience every time, or do you see new faces?
I see new people all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jim, it is a pleasure to have you here. Bonnie's done this before. You're not only a writer and a playwright, but a director and a longtime educator. Let's talk a little bit about your background. You're from Tampa. Are you?
I'm from Tampa, basically. Moved here when I was a child. I've taught school at Chamberlain. And then I was very fortunate my last 10 years of teaching to go to Blake High School for the performing arts.
Oh, yeah.
So that was like a dream come true. I mean, a beautiful facility, kids who wanted to be there, you know.
You taught theater there, did you?
I taught theater there, right.
Yeah.
And I taught, for a while, I taught with Eric Davis. He taught musical theater, and I taught the straight dramas. Huh. So that was great. When I was at Chamberlain one time, I was at Chamberlain twice, two terms, it occurred to me to write my own plays. Uh-huh. So I started writing plays for high schoolers. So I've written several, and right now I've got another one in rehearsal, a musical that I worked on with Terry Farley. But that's how I first came to Radio Theater Project, was through, they did a script of mine.
Oh, sure.
The Chatterbox.
Well, I imagine you knew the Rices and you knew Bonnie anyway from theater circles.
Kind of, really. I mean, yeah. I think I knew Bonnie better than the Rices. But then I ended up, I don't know whether I went from playwriting to directing or to acting. So I get to do all three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do voices at Radio Theater too, obviously.
I do. I don't do voices. I'm not good at voices.
Okay, you do.
I do my voice. Yes.
Jim's right. A wonderful character. If I see an unusual character, I go, that's Jim right there.
That's fabulous. You have one in production now, did you say? Where is that being done?
That's being done by Think Tank Theater.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a teen theater. It's a teen play.
Georgia has been in here numerous times.
Okay, so you know her. Georgia Mallory Guy.
Yeah.
And it's a high school musical called The Boyfriend Project.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Based on a play I wrote many years ago, and I always thought this would be a fun musical. So we've written it with Terry Farley. And we're doing it one performance only at Free Fall Theater on the 19th of November. So I got to watch the first rehearsal yesterday afternoon, the musical rehearsal. It was really exciting and amazing.
Is Michael Raby working on the music?
Michael Raby is, yes. Terry is working on it, and Michael is there too.
You know what's so funny to me? It's not funny, but you mentioned Eric before working in high school. Is that – everybody, I've known you for 100 years. I still know these people. You know, so you're at Free Fall in a way because Think Tank is over there, and that's Eric's place. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We used to work in the same school.
Well, you know, I directed a play at Free Fall with Bonnie Harvey, and that was a great experience for me. And
you played the rabbit, did you, Bonnie? A lot of lines.
And I do the talkbacks at Free Fall. Yeah. And that's basically the thing that I do consistently over there. And that's a lot of fun. So after one of the shows, I moderate the talkback with the cast, some of the cast members, and the audience.
You still do that now?
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I know.
That's wow. Well, I'm going to put your story over here for a second because I want to go back to Rich and Mimi Rice and talk about, for those who don't know, how Radio Theater Project came to be and what the idea was. And I'm looking at you, Bonnie Egan. Yeah.
Well, Mimi Rice an aging actress, as we all are now. I am speaking for myself.
Yes, I'm an aging actress.
Went to Bob Devin Jones and said, "Wouldn't it be fun? I'm not getting roles anymore, so why don't we do radio theater?"
Oh, hence the word aging. I thought you were.
Well, you don't have to look a certain way.
Get a little dig in,
and there's not many roles for aging actresses. So he said, "Fine." You know, as the answer is always yes at the studio when mm-hmm. Bob was there. She started it. She had. With her husband, Rich, who had been the theater director at Eckerd College, she had a bunch of friends, Ron Satloff, who had been a producer of TV in Hollywood. Do you remember Ron Satloff?
It must have been while I wasn't living here.
And, of course, Bob Heitman, who was a retired soap opera actor from New York. And so she just put all these people together and did it. You know, the scripts were... You know, we had to radioize a lot of them at first.
Sure.
We didn't. I didn't. But so now we have a wonderful supply of actual radio.
Well, let's talk about the idea of what this is.
No.
It's not exactly theater, and it's not theater of the mind, old time radio. We're
right.
not doing the shadow nose and all right. that stuff.
Right.
Tell people what it is. I know what it is, but go ahead and tell them.
Well, it's all original new scripts, and mm-hmm. we get them submitted to us, and we have several actors. We have five microphones who stand up and read from the scripts, do characters. We're going to have a lot of double casting in the one that's coming up, The Thing in McGarry's Woods. People play different characters. So it is kind of imagination. But the fun part is having the audience there live, and they get to watch Matt Cowley do the Foley.
The sound effects.
Which is always fascinating.
Right,
exactly.
Right.
So And it's they like, love it.
Who's that running through the gravel? There's Matt stirring the gravel. Yeah. Or what's that ringing thing?
Yeah.
It's always, Matt, can you give us a phone ring here? The rehearsals are always so much fun.
I know.
Because it's like
yeah.
watching him create all this. Oh, I'll have that by Monday.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't have that just now.
What does it do for the actors? You know, it's. I mean, you have a script in front of you, so there's mm-hmm. none of that pesky memorizing,
well,
and there's not really any blocking. But
you have to condense your character. It's just in your voice. And so it's all right there, and that's fun. That's a good thing to do. And they don't have to memorize anything.
Yeah, yeah. And plus, you have coffee in Danish at the rehearsals.
Oh,
and that's very...
We're going to be doing later rehearsals, so...
I know. I'm happy, though. Sunday morning things were not
might
fun.
Might be cocktails. I don't know.
Be an interesting rehearsal. So, Jim, they got a script from you
yes.
in the early days. That's how you met this band of characters.
Right.
Would you remember the show? What was it?
It was the Chatterbox. It was about a restaurant where instead of ordering food, you go in and order conversations. And they have people come and sit with you and have conversations.
Hey, Bonnie, you should do this one again. It sounds pretty cool.
I got to go look
at it. Like an anniversary show.
They're all still in the Dropbox, so I'll go back and look at it.
Were you at Chamberlain or Blake at the time? You were still teaching then?
I think I'd moved to Blake by then.
Okay, so yeah. so did you sort of join the band then, was it a few years yet before
it was
kinda...
funny. I mean, I always feel I'm always on the margin of things. I'm always like, like Free Fall. I'm not a member of Free Fall staff, but I'm a regular there, and I kind of feel like I know the people and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm on the fringes, mm-hmm. and that's how I felt with Radio Theater Project. But more and more, I don't feel that way.
No.
I feel very much a
You're
part of it.
You're an essential part of it.
You truly are. And, I mean, I'm not there all the time, but most of the times I'm there, you're there too. And it just becomes like a nice family reunion. Like,
yeah.
Oh, look at all that. And now it's been a few months, and we're coming back together.
I can't wait.
To do it again.
Yes.
One thing before we forget, all this talk about Free Fall made me think about Fable, which featured Bonnie Egan as June Havoc, as one of, I guess, three June Havocs.
The old one.
Eric
would say, no, Bonnie, it's older.
Yeah, I did, out of deference to Mimi Rice, I wasn't going to say anything about aging actresses. What was that experience like? It was a great show.
It was really fun because the writer was there. He's from New York, Doug DeVita. And he's in a writing group with, do you remember Emily Dupree? She's in New York. She is originally.
I saw her do the Turn of the Screw with Eric.
Yes, exactly.
She comes to town every once in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's very good.
So anyway, he was developing this play with a group, and she said, you need to send this to Eric Davis.
Hmm.
And he did. And, of course, Eric looked at it and thought, put some music there with Michael Raby, and we've got a show.
Yeah. A tap dancing tot. Yeah, right. All the ingredients.
I know. Wasn't she adorable?
Yeah, it was very cool.
Yeah, she was great. So it was really fun to see it develop, and he was very open to suggestions, which you can probably relate to. And yeah, it's just interesting to take a brand new play and put it in front of an audience. And yeah.
Your Ann Richards thing was fabulous.
Thank you.
You don't see that much acting anymore. I mean, it seems to me that you know, you take what you like.
I'm an older actress, aging actress with no roles.
Let's get off of that one. You told me earlier you actually started in script writing or ad writing for radio.
I was a copywriter, yes, yeah. In broadcast, yes.
How'd you get into acting?
Well, I actually started in acting. I did that in college. Mm-hmm. And then, seriously, my senior year, I had an old boyfriend. And he had gone to New York, and he said, "Well, I hope you're willing to go to New York and starve." And I thought, "Oh no, I'm from Iowa. I'm from the breadbasket. I'm not going to go." So I switched my major to broadcast advertising.
Oh, there's a lot of money in that.
Yeah. It turned out, but it's steady work.
Let's talk about Monday's show, which is the Halloween show. This is always a really fun one. How did you decide which scripts you're going to use? I know one of them is Gems, and we'll get to that. But there are three.
Yes.
How do you decide?
Well, Jim Wicker is the dramaturg, and he reads all the submissions, mm-hmm. all of them. Mm-hmm. And then he writes a little review of them. And then I go through and look at his reviews. And some of these were clearly for Halloween, October. Mm-hmm. So I mark October on there. And then I go back and read the scripts and decide from there.
So you got to put a lot of faith in Mr. Wicker.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I understand that. He's a guy I look up to.
Oh, yeah.
He's taller than me.
Oh, yeah.
Can we talk about the three shows? Do you have that in the material
indeed.
In front of you?
The first one is, it's a longer show. It's called All Souls Night.
Sounds Halloween-y.
Yes, and it's written by Simon Bowler Kahn. And, you know, he's somebody that's, I don't know, these come from all over. I think he's in New York or somewhere in the East Coast. But it's you know, it's a typical vampire story. Mm. It's very creepy, and it's got some really meaty roles. And one of the roles is for a ghoul who has to make scary sounds, and I'm looking for an excellent actor to do that.
Yeah.
and the other one, then we're going to have the intermission, because that's a little bit longer show. And then Paul Wilburn then plays piano and entertains us during the intermission.
Oh, he's so entertaining.
Isn't he wonderful?
Paul.
And he always has something appropriate for the season and the moment. So it's always great. So then we have two shows, shorter shows. One is Burying Uncle Gustav, and it's by Michael Murphy. We've done a lot of stuff by Mike Murphy. They're always very fun. He has a very twisted sense of humor, which of course we love.
I think I'm Uncle Gustav in that one. I think.
You are Gustav.
Okay. Indeed. So it's going to be hysterical, folks. It's going to be a barn burner. Great.
And I don't want to give away the end or, you know, the plot, the ending, because it's kind of a surprise ending, but it's great. And then at the very end, our topper, button is The Thing in McGarry's Woods, and that's by James Rayfield.
Yay.
So I'll let him talk about that.
Yeah, tell us about it.
Well, it's funny because it's by me, but it's an adaptation from a novel that a friend of mine, who I've known since college, wrote.
Wow.
And I had read this novel and always liked one particular section. He's a Florida boy.
Well, the rest of it was just garbage.
No, the rest of it went other places. This is very self-contained, a little section.
Okay.
And he's very Florida, and it has a Florida feeling about the weather and the woods and all that kind of stuff, and what's happening in Florida in terms of development a little bit.
Mm.
And I thought about it.
That's scary. That's a good Halloween
scary,
subject.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I hadn't really done anything about it. One day, Jim Wicker came by and dropped me off some food to eat. And I was sitting and talking with him. There was something about his voice.
Mm.
It just struck me. My God, he'd be perfect for this character.
Yeah,
so then I got off, you know, the button and wrote it. And so that's it. So it's very different than what I usually write.
What's the thing in McGarry's Woods? What is
that's
this?
What you, what is that's this fabled what you thing? Find out.
It's a surprise.
I was hoping you'd
It's something
me.
Very scary. Mm. Something that it sets the whole town on edge.
Ooh.
And frightens people and makes them think, who knows, is something satanic happening? You know? So you find out, though, eventually just what it is.
It's so much fun, isn't it, though, as actors, because you're all just standing there and you're all very straight-faced, you know, but then you just get into these voices and you're in, you are acting. You're working with other people to make something cohesive, and it's so much fun. It's just like riding a bus together, you know, here we go, down the hill.
I mean, yeah. Definitely.
That's for sure.
I mean, no, yeah. That's for sure. And I remember I was doing a scene with Colleen Cherry one day, and I went, this is wonderful. She's so good to work with.
She does great voices, doesn't
yeah.
she?
Yeah, and she just yeah. was, it was like, yeah. But it's weirdly different in that, for one thing, as actors, you pay attention to the other actor in a scene. You know, you watch them and look at them and get clues from that.
Sure.
You can't look at the other actors on the radio. You've got to look straight at that microphone. And so it's a kind of different way of acting. But, I grew up on radio, so I still love it a lot.
Well, that's what they used to call theater of the mind, right? Because you fill in the blanks. Your brain fills in the visuals.
Right.
You know, and that's kind of the way it worked. So, look, Radio Theater Project comes back Monday, October the 28th at the studio at 6:20 at 7 p.m. with the Halloween show. You can find tickets at thestudio@620.org.
Actually, the tickets will be available at the door.
Oh.
I don't think they have the link set up yet.
Okay, well, just come to the door. It starts at 7. Get there at 6:30 because we all hang around and drink coffee or other things and you know,
a bar.
Banter a bit. Yeah, there's there's that sort of thing there. Jim Rayfield, Bunny Egan, what a pleasure.
Thank
Anything
you.
Else we forgot?
I don't think so.
Anything else?
No.
All righty, then. We will, between you and me, I'll see you Sunday, and everybody else, we'll see you Monday night at the studio at 6:20. Thanks again.
Thank you.
From stpcatalyst.com.